This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. Now this is episode 95, The Spectre from 2015. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Spectre?
Okay, saw this in 2015. I saw this Saturday. That's it. Two times. This was my second time watching it. So, and we're going to get into why, but yeah, I've seen it twice.
Yeah, for me also, I've seen this twice. I've seen one in the theater, then again on 4K, and then again this Saturday. So technically three times, if you really think about it, because you watch the 4K, then you rewatch it. So it's an interesting rewatch. That's all I got to say. But for those of you that are new to the channel, we have an actual list agenda. I'm going to give you guys really quick how we do this stuff. We're going to give you guys an opening title sequence. It's only new for the Bond movies. Then we're going to go right into some box office numbers, Rotten Tomatoes, and then right into our actual movie review. So with that said, let's get right into the opening title sequence.
Okay, so we're coming off of a title sequence that was glorious, for lack of a better term. Both of us gave it a 5. So what did they do? They go, okay, look, we had Chris Cornell, awesome, right? We had Alicia Keys and Jack White, awesome artists, not awesome Bond theme song people. Mm-mm. Then we had Adele, best of both worlds, awesome Bond artist, awesome regular artist, right? So then they said, well, who can we get? So they got the male version of Adele, Sam Smith. Sam Smith's a good singer. And at the time, you got to think 2015, he was on the rise. You know what I mean? Like he was blowing up big.
Yeah.
This song is incredibly unmemorable. I'm not saying it's bad. There's a difference between bad and unmemorable. While you're hearing it, it's not terrible. It's better than the Jack White song. I'd probably say it's not as good as Adele's or Chris Cornell's, but it's not bad. I didn't hate it, but I sure don't remember how it goes. Like, shortly after hearing it, like right now, I can hear the Casino Royale one if I wanted to. I can hear Skyfall. I don't really remember how this one goes. But while it's playing, it's okay. It's a little too slow for my take. Like Skyfall was slow, but it had big like sound. You know what I mean? This one is slow and doesn't really have that. I do like the credit sequence itself with all like the octopus and all that kind of stuff. I thought it looked cool. I'm gonna give it a 4. I didn't think it was bad by any means. I don't think it was bad. I just think it was not super memorable, the song, but the visuals were great. I actually liked them a lot.
I totally agree with you on that. Now, you're absolutely right. Now the artist for you, those of you out there, is Sam Smith with writings on the wall. That's the name of the song for this movie. Adele, for some reason, you're absolutely, she was a diamond in the rough, right? In terms of like picking the right artist, the right song, perfect movie, because we gave it almost gave it a perfect score. Mm-hmm. And to me, why didn't you just bring her back?
Has anyone ever done two in a row?
No.
She would have been the first. Maybe yeah, that's why. You're like, we have to.
Yeah, I would have brought her back for this one, especially with Sam Mendes. It would have made sense for me. Same director.
Oh, yeah, he did came both. Back. Why couldn't they have why couldn't they just have the same singer? You had the same director both times.
Yeah, so it didn't work for me. The song, I understand my wife is more into, she knows more the lyrics because she loves him as an artist. So she was like, this song fits more Casino Royale. If you really listen to the words, it's about like him sacrificing himself. And that was more Casino Royale, if you really think about it. He basically sacrificed himself for Vesper. But for this one, I kind of understand. But you're right, yo, that's it is not memorable. And especially the chorus when he goes, how do I live? How do I? And it is so high. I'm giving you the Al Smith version of the song. But yeah, it's not good. I give it a 4.5 though, because I thought the tone, the lyrics fit the movie. If you really pay attention to what the lyrics are about, is exactly what the movie that you're about to see. And then the visuals are excellent. I love the big octopus when it shows, and then that was really good. So I gave it a 4.5. You gave it a 4.
I think the lyrics are good, and I think the singing is good. He's a good singer.
Yeah.
It's just the music is too mellow, especially, and we're going to get into it in a second, especially for what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was good, just not great.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. But let's get right into some box office numbers before we get into our main review. So with
the last one made $1 billion.
So does it come close? We'll find out. These are the numbers for Spectre from 2015, box office numbers. Domestic, $200 million. International, 680 million.
Ooh, did not hit the billion.
No, it did not. Worldwide for 880 million on a budget. Now it's more money than Skyfall. $245 million.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it still made the money.
Almost a $300 million movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it made a lot of money. You know, we're not going to sit here and act like $800 million is not a lot of money. But when your last one made over a billion, it's a little less impressive. That extra zero is off. You know what I mean? Yeah. 250 in America? 250, you said, right?
No, 200 flat.
Oh, 200 in America. Okay, I mean, it's not bad for a Bond film, to be honest. The worldwide usually carries these. Still made six. I don't know what happened here. I don't know what happened. People didn't turn out as much for this one, but still good.
You know, it's kind of weird, right? Like, if you really think about it, I mean, you always talk about this. It's this thing called word of mouth. And it's something that we could talk about on our live shows when we return November 1st. Easy plug. 9 p.m. But with that said, can the word of mouth hurt this movie? Well, we're going to find out. But let's check out what the critics and the audience have to say about this film with the Rotten Tomatoes scores. Neat.
Well, they might have heard it because the critic score for this Rotten Tomatoes, it's not terrible, but it's a 63%. So that's down big from Skyfall. Now, here's the thing. This is actually, to this point, the lowest rated Craig movie because it's 1% less than Quantum of Solace, if you believe that. Audience score, 61%. So they were pretty much on par, and Quantum of Solace was a 58. So audiences like this one slightly better. Critics liked it just barely less, but it's in that ballpark. So maybe you're right. Maybe it was just people saying, it's more like Quantum of Solace than Skyfall. Or, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird, right? I mean, if you really think about the numbers, it dropped from 200 million down because it was 1.1 billion, I believe, with Skyfall. So it dropped like 300 million in the last one, which is not bad for a fourth movie in a storyline arc. It's not bad. And for a
26th or how many was this? 24?
24, yeah.
For 24 movies into a franchise, it's also not bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, so pretty. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So with that said, we're going to throw out all those critic scores, all those audience scores. And now it's time to get to our scores. What did we think of Spectre after we sat down to revisit this movie? So with that said, let's check out Daniel Craig in his almost final movie as 007 until he took the role back for No Time to Die. But this is the lead character, Daniel Craig, James Bond.
In his penultimate role, he was great. I don't have any problem with Daniel Craig in this movie. I thought he was really good. Now, there are moments, because I remember when this came out, this was when he was saying like he'd rather kill himself than be in another Bond movie and all that kind of stuff. He was having a hard time. He was sick of the role, whatever. There are moments in the film where you could tell he's, as an actor, not as a character, as an actor, he's not giving it as much as he did in Skyfall, let's say. But on the whole, he's still really good. He's more Skyfall James Bond than Quantum of Solace. If you guys remember, I didn't really like him in that. Well, that's not true. I liked him. I gave him a 4. I just didn't like him as much as I did in the other ones. I liked him a lot in this one. I didn't have any problems with him, really. He did the action great. He still had some of the few of the one-liners. I like that kind of Bond, right? The traditional, give me a couple of jokes, give me some good action, slay the ladies. He does it. He does all that stuff in this movie. You know what I mean? And he's still this version of Bond that's like a little bit like a little battering ram. You know what I mean? I mean, we'll get to it in action, but I liked him. I don't have any problems with him. He's not sad like he was in Quantum of Solace. It's a 5 for me. I don't really have an issue with him.
Yeah, look, I totally agree with you. I'm going to continue going with a 5 here. I thought he was really good with this script. Again, I gave Quantum a 5, but the only reason why is because I think because of the storyline. If you really look at the storyline that he was doing in Quantum, but overall, I would have gave him a 4 for overall picture in terms of him as Bond, but I was going with the Vesper storyline and he was still feeling the hurt from that. But with this movie, I kind of liked him. I thought he continued from Skyfall to this one. He became more traditional Bond, like the Bond that you knew from all the 24 movies that you've seen of Bond. He was jokey, he was charisma all over the place, he was pissed off Bond, he was angry Bond, he was chasing Bond, he was shooting, he was driving. You got everything. I mean, everything from the 24 films that you loved about Bond, I think they gave it to you in Spectre. Daniel Craig gave it to you. He embodied, wasn't it, Sean Connery, Pierce Brosnan, Roger Moore, George Lebiz, and Timothy Dalton all in one in this film. So look, I had to give him a 5. Main villain,
Okay.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz as secretly Blofeld, right? Because yeah. this guy's another name most of the movie. Mm-hmm. This one was the hardest. This movie in general, I think of the four that we watched, was the hardest for me to score, just being 100% honest. I think two of them are great and pretty easy to kind of hash out. One of them I don't love and was pretty easy to hash out. This one, this is such a mixed, this is the most mixed bag for me of his movies, okay? I think there are great elements. Clearly, I gave him a five. And then we get to the villain, and I love Christoph Waltz. I think he's one of the best actors working. He's amazing in Django, anything with Tarantino, Inglourious Bastards, amazing. And even in other stuff, like he's just a great actor. He speaks like five languages or something, you know what I mean? So he could pretty much do anything you want. And as a villain, he's always great. My problem is he's barely in this movie. He is barely in this movie. You know, he doesn't show up for a while, then he just sits in a chair in a shadow. And then he doesn't show up again until the third act of the movie, way at the end. You know what I mean? And that can work. Like, it worked for Bardem when he wasn't on screen. You remember, we talked about it in Skyfall. He doesn't show up till an hour in, but his presence is felt. I don't get that from Christoph Waltz's character in this movie. And for them to just come out and say, like, well, for him to be like, well, I was the one behind everything. It's a little too convenient. They don't really explain how he was specifically the one who did all this stuff. You know right. what I mean? They just kind of throw stuff out like, I was your brother. What the heck? Like, when did this even... It's never mentioned. It's never talked about. I mean, it's not his blood brother, but still, you know what I mean? And I think it was a little too random. I think he could have been an amazing villain. I love the way he looks when he gets the scar at the end. I think he looks badass in that, you know, with that makeup and everything. And I love the actor. I'm going to give him a three. I think it's a missed opportunity for one of the more historic Bond villains, from what I understand. Like, I've heard the name, and I know he's like Dr. Evil from Austin Powers is based off of, you know, Blofeld.
Yeah.
So even though I've never seen him, I know him. That's how important of a villain it is. And I don't think this is the best iteration. So I give him a three. I didn't hate him, but it seems like they could have done better.
Yeah. When it comes to Blofeld, it was weird, right, for me, because I watched them all. So he appeared in like six movies. Again, it's been a while. So it's six movies, I believe, Blofeld's in. The first Blofeld, because a few people played him, was your boy Daniel Pleasance. He was Blofeld. Yep. The original yep. Daniel.
Donald Pleasance.
Yeah. Yep. So he came out in You Only Live Twice. I believe that's the first film that he did. And that was Donald Pleasance. He was good. Right. Now, this one, I agree with everything you say. And I had problems with this one. Right. Because I was like, OK, you orchestrated this entire scheme. And I agree with you 100% that they should have showed flashbacks where he was when everything was happening. If he was in Venice, when Italy, and he was in the hotel, seeing the hotel going down, I would have said, okay, this is cool, right? If they show some flashbacks, you did see him in the movie. Wherever he went, you saw Blofeld, like, somewhere you saw him. He was standing in front of him, because I was like, oh, look, he's right there. But other than that, you're absolutely right. Javier Bardem's character... he was felt. This one, it wasn't. It was like they were trying to use the fear of, oh my God, Spectre. And then everyone's like, oh my God, it's an organization thing. And that's like, that's not going to scare me. Like, if you're going to give me a name of an organization, who gives a shit? Like, you're not telling me that this is Blofeld. And then, first of all, he was like, Hennheiser. Like, how is that Blofeld to me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like a German name, which I was like, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden he goes, that's not my name no more. My name now is just Blofeld. And I was just like, oh, God, that's so corny. Yeah. And that reminded me of Star Trek Into Darkness, when we all knew my man Cumberpatch was freaking Khan. And all of a sudden you got to wait like 2 hours into the movie until he goes, I'm Khan. And I'm like, oh. And it was the same thing with this. Instead of going Hinsenheiser, his name is freaking Blofeld. Just call him Blofeld. But they had to do this whole mystery of who he is. I did not like he was his stepbrother. I hated that. My wife didn't care for it. Me, myself, I didn't like that at all.
I didn't like it either, because it was too random.
Yes.
Too random.
Yeah. It was coincidence. Oh, yeah, it's my. And I'm like, so you mean to tell me that was his stepbrother and not out of the blue he remembers him? Because in the other three movies, he's not going to remember him.
And like James Bond, who's a spy, never kept track of where this guy went in life at all.
Yes.
You know, and he knew, because they mentioned how he died or whatever. And he knew, Bond knew, like, no, he's not or whatever.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't know.
I didn't like that. It was too, to me, it's just so too coincidental. Now, in terms of the actor, fantastic. I loved them.
From me. Yeah.
You gave him a 3. I'm going to go up a notch. I gave him a 4 because I think his presence, he didn't die. So I already know, we all know from the trailer. He's going to come back. So I think that's going to be more impactful to figure out what's going to happen with Blofeld. So I gave him a 4 in this action sequence.
Okay. So, all right. You know what? This will be my first one. I'm going to give this one the 5. I think for my money, this movie actually has the best overall action of the Craig films. Mm. The cold open in Mexico, I love it. I love the way it looks. I love the way it's shot, a long take. I'm a sucker for a long take.
Yeah.
And we know Sam Mendes did 1917, which is all one long take, well, told in one long take. This opening scene is the same thing. It has that long shot into the crowd, into the building, it's beautiful. It really is like filmmaking, you know, fan and me, the nerd, I love this. I remembered it being awesome. Then you just get big set pieces. And this is why I like it. The action scenes in this are long. The car chase with Batista is like 10 minutes long. They're driving and the cars look beautiful, well shot. Then the plane scene, it's like 10 minutes. I'm like, give me these big, huge action sequences. And the other ones had like one big one and then like smaller ones. This one just like only had big ones, pretty much. The opening is great. The car chase is great. The airplane. I love the fight. The fight with Batista on the train. That's Bond got to really do some hand to hand. You know, we got a glimpse of it with the Skyfall scene in the building with the neon. Now you really got it. And Batista was doing work in that scene. And it's a great choice because he was a wrestler. He knows the physicality. He's huge. It's great. I loved it. I gave it a 5. I think the action in this, maybe to the detriment of the film, the action is kind of the focal point for me. I think it was the best of the series, personally.
I totally agree with you. I enjoyed this. And it's funny because you have not seen any of the old ones. This movie is such a homage to the old Bond movies. If you love this stuff, what you're watching now, again, the old movies, you already know you're going to get some cheesy stuff. But you get tons of long sequences. Bond driving his car, doing some outrageous driving sequences. But it is so fun. This one, you're absolutely right. This is a great action. I gave Skyfall a 5 because I just love the action scenes there.
Yeah.
This one was such a 5 for me because it was such a blend of the old Bond movies with the newer action stunt, whatever version, I don't know what you want to call it, the newer versions of shooting action movies. I think it works so well. I love the plane scene. Like, people hated that. When I talk to people hated that scene because they were like, it never happened. I'm like, bro, you never seen 24 films of Bond. This is the most accurate you're going to get of a dude driving it and losing his wings, and he is chasing them. I love it. The music was all over the place with the action. It drew the suspense. And every time he did some Bond thing, it was like, and I was like, yes, finally.
Really good.
Yes, we finally got a movie that when Bond does something, his theme song kicked in. And I absolutely loved it. The train scene reminded me of all the train scenes with Roger Moore on when he's fighting. Is it Jaws? He finds one of those dudes. I think Jaws is one of them and some other henchmen he fights in other movies. It's just such a great homage to the old Bond movies. And I had to give it a 5. Such a great action scene. And the action.
I'm glad you mentioned the plane because I watched this with one of our patrons. Shout out to our patron and my cousin, Beckish.
Mm.
And when he pulls up in the plane and like opens the window and she's like, oh, this is cheesy. And I'm like, no, it is, but it also is Bond. Like, that is one of the most Bond moments. That was a very Pierce Brosnan, because that's the only other ones I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's some crap he would do. Open the window, like, wave hello.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the rest of the scene is amazing. I don't even care. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then Batista did the same thing, too. Like, he had a double gun.
He had a gun with his barrel. You can't make this stuff up.
You can't.
It was amazing.
No, it was great. And then the Aston Martin scene. You cannot tell me how awesome it was when Q pulled it out. He goes, oh, Q. And he goes, oh, this is not for you. It's for 009. He was so deflated. And that was like, that was awesome. When Blofeld was escaping with the helicopter and he's chasing him with the boat. Tell me you was not going crazy. Like,
yeah, I mean, that whole final scene where he's in the thing explosions with the bombs.
Oh, yeah.
It was just set piece after set piece after set piece. So,
It
was great.
That's a 5. Of course, the exploding building, MI6 building, because they were remodeling. Yep. That's a 5. Let's get to storyline.
Okay, so again, this is why this one was harder for me. I was not as engrossed with this story as I was with some of the other ones. I don't think it's as story-wise bad as Quantum, but it's nowhere near. I gave Casino a 5. I gave Skyfall a 5. And this doesn't touch either of those as far as the story. We talked about, one of my main issues is what we talked about with the villain. A lot of it stems from that. You know what I mean? The conveniences of it all. And the fact that he just is responsible and we just have to take this as his word. And he's not in it a lot. And the movie's long. It feels really long. Like, as I'm watching, I'm like, when does this end? And not in a good way. Like, I was like, okay, like, let's... And as great as the action scenes are, when they're not happening, I wasn't as enthralled. Like, there's, like, long scenes of him and the girl riding on the train before the fight. All that was kind of boring. It was kind of boring at times, to be honest, for me. So I don't think it's terrible. I think it's very middle of the road as far as the story. I gave it a 3. It keeps enough interest to get to the set pieces, but it could have, like, coming off Skyfall, they could have done so much better with the writing. And it seems like not only Craig, but maybe Mendez too, like, and the writers, maybe they're just like, they were a little tired of whatever. Maybe the studio was, you know, you could tell something was up besides the action and the technical stuff. The story kind of lacked for me.
You know, I agree with you on that one. I felt the hours go by. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to, just because I'm a Bond fan, but, oh, this is the greatest movie also. No, I felt it. I even told my wife, I was like, damn. I was like, we're already in the 2 hours. Like, when you pause, like, we paused it. Mm-hmm. Like, I do this sometimes now when we're doing our reviews just to see where we are. Like, am I enjoying this or I'm not? I pause it. And when I paused it, I was like, man, we got 45 minutes to go. Like, geez. And I think the problem with this movie was it had way too much storyline plots. I think they were concentrating too much on Blofeld. If you're going to go down that road, you go down that road. No, we had to do Blofeld. Then we had to do the most nonsense storyline, which I thought this was just a waste of film in terms of this storyline, was the whole MI6 giving authority because they were going to do drones and the whole Mission Impossible. The whole, you know, they were going to take control because MI6 is obsolete. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, that was stupid. I didn't care.
It made no sense to me.
Secondary villain.
Yeah, no sense to me. I said that to me was where it felt way too long. It was just like, oh, the double O's, you know, we don't need no double O's. Like, yes, you do. We already figured this out. Like, we already got 3 movies. You're going to need double O's. Like, even the old M was fighting because it's like, you still need to fight from the shadows. Like, that's what she kept talking about. And we're doing another movie that 007 doesn't need to, they don't need a 007 program. Like, come on. Like, to me, that was just so repetitive. Mm-hmm. I did not like that at all. I felt like him and the girl storyline with Mr. White, again, an interesting character that I think they should have focused with Daniel Craig throughout these 4 movies. And I don't know if you agree with me, but Mr. White, if he was this critical that Blofeld was searching for him, you should have gave us a movie that was all Mr. White and Bond was searching for him. And they developed a relationship where he just trusted them. Like, they have like the love and hate trust or whatever.
Right.
And then you go off after his daughter at the end, that they kill him or something. Mm-hmm. I felt like that storyline was so rushed. It was like, oh, Pearl White. Oh, Mr. White. Okay, let me go get Mr. White. I didn't like that much. Again, I gave it a 4 in terms of storyline for certain storylines and not all of it. I think certain the storylines that captivated for me in the movie was the Blofeld and Mr. White. I did not care at all for the MI6 giving control to the other dude, the douche. And that I did not like absolutely at all. The other storylines I did and it engaged me. So I gave it a 4, but I do totally understand why you gave it a 3 overall.
Yeah. Okay. So overall, I think it's a good movie. You know, I don't remember what I scored it when I first saw it. I don't think I was crazy about it because it was so long. And I'm pretty sure I saw this. This was back like still when there was like midnight showings. I'm pretty sure I went to like a midnight screening of this and I didn't get out till like 3 a.m. You know what I mean? On a Thursday. So that had a definite effect. And that might be the reason I didn't rewatch it all these years. Cause I was like, I remember it being kind of boring. And then I watch it. I don't find it altogether boring now. I find moments boring. I think things are dragged out too long. Scenes are dragged out too long. Those subplots that you mentioned, I don't care for either. The only thing that comes out of that I do like is I like Ralph Fiennes in this as M. You know, like he's constantly moving. He's great, great actor, and I like his portrayal of M. It's different than Judi Dench, but he's still tough like she is. but he's a little bit more like on the level with Bond. And like, he doesn't, she, as much as she like loved him, she seemed to hate him too. She's like, yeah. I love you, but I kind of hate you because you're, and he doesn't have that with Bond. You know what I mean? So I like him. I don't love the love story as much with him and the girl with the Mr. White's daughter. It's okay. Coming off of like, nothing's going to touch the story with Vesper as far as a love story goes. And then the last two, he didn't really have one. So that was cool. It was okay, but I don't know. But the action carries it for me. I think the action is great. I think Craig is great. Yanray Fiennes is great. I think Christoph Waltz is great, but the character's not great. So if I'm going to give it a 4, it's a 4. I almost was going to give it a 3.5 because I'm thinking in my head like a 7, but I'll give it the point because I do think the action is like literally great. Like I could watch just some of these sequences again. So I'm going to give it a 4. I enjoyed it for the most part.
Yeah, look, I agree with you on this one. I'm with you. I give this a 4 overall. I think this is an actual excellent movie in terms of if you're looking at it from the standpoint of Quantum, because that is the weakest one of the link.
This is way better. I'm surprised it got lower reviews.
I totally agree with you. And I think this was word of mouth. It had to be word of mouth that people didn't like. Because I know a lot of people that did not like this movie. And I'm like, why? Like, and the thing is like, they because of Skyfall, yeah, granted, but you're never going to get another Skyfall. That was like the stars were aligned. Like, a lot of movies are like that, right? Jaws was like that. Jaws 2 and 3 and 4 was not like Jaws 1, right? Like, it's just certain things fell into place. And you got a great Bond movie. That's okay. This one, I felt like you got a Bond movie. You got a modern age, old Roger Moore style of Bond. And I absolutely loved it. You got the gadgets, right? You never got to see the car with the gadgets, except the first one, the DB5, I believe it is, the Goldfinger one, which that one is cool. But this one, you got a modern car. And it was cool because he didn't have all the gadgets in the car, right? He was like, ammo, didn't, you know, he was just like, ah. Oh. And then he put on inspirational and it was Frank Sinatra and he was getting annoyed. So that was funny. You got Moneypenny, which again, you saw the relationship between, is like they both flirt with each other in all the Bond movies and you saw it here. It just, they flirt more. Q and Bond, to me, I always laugh when they're both on screen because they have this love-hate relationship with each other because He always tells him to bring back his stings on One Piece and he never brings it. He destroys it. And I always love this, the line when Q goes, for the first time you brought me a One Piece, and then he started laughing because of his car and then he had the giggle. I thought that was funny.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny. I thought his only joke.
Yeah.
I thought everything was cool. I thought the jokes landed very well. I thought Batista was a very good henchman. I hope he comes back. I hope he survives that, to be really honest with you. Most likely he didn't, but I mean, it's a Bond movie. They were
going pretty fast, but they also didn't show him die.
So I hope they bring him back. We got Blofeld for another movie. We don't know what his role is in No Time to Die, but we will see. Look, with that said, I gave it a 4 total points.
You know what? I think Blofeld, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised just by the little trailer I saw. I bet you he's like a Hannibal Lecter role because he was in a jail and I bet you he gives him information to get the new guy. That's my guess.
Yeah. Well,
and also he survived that explosion and all he got was a scar on his eye. Maybe Batista lived. That's all I'm saying. Maybe he lived. Total points for me is a 20 out of a 25. I think, like you said, it's not unfair. I don't think it's unfair to compare it to Skyfall, but it does it a little bit of a disservice to say because Skyfall was great, this one sucks by comparison. I don't think it sucks by comparison. I don't think it's as good, but if you just take it on its own merits, maybe watch them like separate, far apart. It's a good movie. 20 out of 25.
Yeah. And you know, it's cool. Mine is 22.5. And the one thing you just said right now, this movie, I could throw it on without watching the other ones and enjoy it for what it is. It's a standalone movie also. That opening break with the helicopter is still sick, to be honest. They actually did that. There's no CGI, ain't nothing. Like, if you watch the making, they really did the flipping with that dude. It's just crazy. Yeah. That is actually pretty cool. And that is a giant set piece, that Mexican,
The Day of the Dead?
Yeah, that was all 2,000 extras or something, I believe they did. It was like one of the biggest set pieces in Bond history, I believe. But it is a fantastic movie. I mean, that's all I got to say. But 22.5 for me, 20 for Nate. What's coming up, my friend?
All right. So this month we are starting our badly reviewed action movie month. And I'm going to use that term because maybe we'll like some of them. You know what I mean? We give our own scores, but these are like the worst reviewed and also like box office flop action movies as voted on by you guys, the listeners. And the first one that we're going to be doing is the 1990s, I don't know, 97 maybe, classic, Speed 2, Cruise Control. So we're going to be reviewing that. And then next week, we got a very special, our first ever podcast episode of a movie that is actually playing in theaters when we wrap up the Craig series with No Time to Die. Be warned, we do it just how we do now, so there will be spoilers.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure you watch it first and then listen to us. But we're going to be covering that. And that's what we got coming up.
Yep. With that said, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. And of course, anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or Levels of Geeks on Instagram. Of course, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, please support the channel by hitting that subscribe button. If you enjoy this review, hit the like buttons, hit those notification bells so every time reviews drop or we start going live November 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern, you guys will be notified. Till then, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.